When you enter someone's house for the first time, you compliment it. That's good manners. That's just what you do. Even if you dislike the style, even if you'd never want to live there, even if you think the colors remind you of children's breakfast cereals, you compliment it. That's good manners. That's just what you do. As Jesus and his disciples leave the newly constructed temple, one of the disciples remarks, "What large stones and what large buildings." That's good manners. That's just what you do. And this innocent, polite comment transitions Jesus into talking about the end of the world. And the language he uses is that of birth pains. He looks at the temple not as a beautiful temple, a beautiful structure that's going to be there for ages, but he looks at the newly constructed temple like a pregnant woman's belly. It's cute, but it's going to be gone as soon as the baby is born. It is merely a cocoon that will disappear once the butterfly comes forth. I've survived the end of the world 3 times already. The first was Y2K. The second was that preacher in California in 2011. And the third was just recently in September, the whole blood moon business. I've survived the end of the world 3 times already. Many of you have survived it many times more. The process, we know, is quite simple. We hear a story on the news. The majority of people chuckle at it. Only a few take it seriously. But then, when alone, in the silence, we wonder. Those vulnerable moments give us pause to look back and consider where we have tread, to look at the inevitable destination of where our lives head, and to squint at the heavens for the advent of our God. While most people merely chuckle at these moments, I have gotten more out of those moments than those moments have gotten out of me. For in those few times, we love our loved ones and hold them closer than we usually do. We forgive others much more quickly over trifle matters. And we pray earnest prayers for forgiveness and for salvation. The other morning, I was working on my sermon, and it was still dark out. Had a Bible on my lap and newspaper on the arm of the chair. And all of a sudden, in the dark, I could see something move, and it was a roach on the wall. And in that quick moment's reaction, I didn't go for the Bible, I went for the newspaper, and whacked the thing dead. When considering the end of the world, the news kills. But the Bible gives life. We cannot deny it. We cannot hide it for fear of being considered crazy. We must embrace it. We must live as if the world is going to end. We must hold that knowledge in our heart of hearts. We must look at our buildings and our possessions and all our accomplishments as a pregnant belly that's going to disappear as soon as the baby is brought forth. A couple of months ago, I encouraged everybody to memorize a verse, Isaiah 33:6. The Lord will be the stability of your times. I thought of it Friday night, watching the news. Somebody told me they liked that verse and said they were thinking about getting it as a tattoo and wondered where I would recommend getting the tattoo. I recommend the same thing to them as I recommend to you. It should be tattooed on your heart, inside your heart. The Lord will be the stability of your times. During World War II, Churchill declared, "This is not the end, nay, not even the beginning of the end, but it is, perhaps, the end of the beginning." So when nations rise against nation and kingdoms against kingdoms, when rulers declare war and rumors of war spread too, when earthquakes shake and famines ravage, when headlines terrify and trumpets sound, when bombs devastate and the slain innocent repose, when the cocoon finally shatters and the pregnant woman cries out in pain, be not afraid. For those who do not believe, the end of the world is a gnashing abyss. But for those who do believe, the end of the world is not the end of the world. So this we remember, to this we hold fast. The best way to live is knowing that we will die.